And
nope.
we're live.
Hey guys, welcome to Checking In. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
All right, you guys great. Good? We have we have the first guest for the hour, whenever.
First guest of the hour.
Well, just one there.
First guest of the hour.
So we obviously we have the evil morph god himself.
Dun, 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 dun.
And that's Kevin, of course, from Nerd, New England Reptile Distributors.
Yes.
Obviously, Kevin has been good friends. We've been good friends for like 30 years and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so what better way to start off the guests than with someone who's crazy? So this is going to go one of two ways.
Okay.
Either we're going to have...
I feel we all had that look when you said that, like, okay.
No, so this is the deal. It's going to either be the worst podcast we've ever done, or no. What it is that Kevin is definitely. I'm going to flatter you for a second. Kevin is probably one of the most smartest, the most intelligent people I've ever met. Seriously, but unfortunately, with what happened?
I don't know.
Wait, hang on one second. What do we got going on, guys?
I don't know.
I think he's also the. Oh,
give us a second.
Person.
Yeah, give us a second, Kevin, because I don't. Is our stream? Should I stream F though?
It says you heard that.
The audio's bad.
Oh, fuck.
Let's just keep going.
What does that mean?
It means that the people can't hear us and that the audio is fucked.
It's pretty hot, so let's see if we can.
So, Jesus Christ.
Let's just keep going.
Keep talking like that and they'll hear you.
Well, now I can't hardly hear anything because the audio's so low. So,
dial up your headphones.
Yeah. So, Kevin, we're just having some technical things. We're trying to figure this thing out. Unfortunately, we're trying to figure it out live, which is the worst thing that we could ever do. So, guys, if you are hearing us, if it's bad, I can't see the chat. We're going to keep going for a little bit. And if it's an abortion, then we'll have to redo this again.
It's an abortion.
It's abomination.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
abomination. So, what I was saying is that, you know, Kevin is one of the smartest guys that I've ever met in a lot of ways. So it's either with smart people, you either get like really intelligent conversations or complete manic insanity.
Yeah,
that's what Kevin is. Can you hear us, Kevin? Now, nope. You can hear a little bit.
Damn.
Yeah, this is so bad. It got my attention. So, are we getting any better, guys?
Well, we're getting the chat to say they can hear us. It's just a little cracky.
A little crackly.
All right, guys. If
Brian's mic only, so much static.
All right,
replug that mic. Is it just Brian's mic?
Hello.
This is crazy. I hate this so much.
Yeah.
I really.
Wow.
You
put away on your
somebody's tired. Here's a little crack and just keep going.
Okay.
Keep reading.
Yeah, so we're going to try to, you know, get this.
Seems to be getting better.
So, Kevin, it seems like it's getting better, so we're going to go ahead and keep going with it. It's really frustrating, guys, and I apologize that I'm frustrated.
So you were talking about how intelligent Kevin is. So what are you intelligent about? Like, what makes you so smart? I don't really know much about you.
Well, listen.
Okay. Okay.
That's basically the gist of our relationship.
Sure.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Audio's good now, guys.
Yeah, I'm positive and Lori's negative.
That's not exactly what I meant.
No, so what the deal is it is really amazing when I've been out to your place a bunch of times. We've hung out at reptile shows and stuff like that. Kevin, like, your level of, like...
Energy?
No, his level of, like, knowledge of things that make no sense are crazy to me. Mm. Like when we talk about, like, electronic switches or something, like, crazy like that. Like, or, like, air conditioning units. Like, you know everything. Like, I don't get it.
He said he Right.
Yeah. So...
So what are you getting at here?
No, I was just saying that Kevin is actually in a pretty mellow mood right here. Have you ever seen Kevin in his crazy mode?
No, I never have.
Oh, we'll get there. So he does, we'll wait for this a little bit later on, but he does some pretty good, you will love some of his moose milk stuff. And the bolognese, you know, stuff. I mean, but we won't get to that right now.
Who's that?
He's Jabroni Reptiles.
Okay.
Alter ego.
Yeah, he's alter. So anyways, Kevin, obviously one of the founders of, you know, the reptile industry, you know, I mean, way back in the day, and certainly pioneer of ball pythons, amongst other things. You know, but I think that's the thing, though, Kev, is that much like us, a lot of times we'll get, like, cornered in. No, what I'm saying is much like us, we'll get cornered into kind of like, you know, oh, you're a ball python guy. But you're really far from a ball python guy. I mean, yes, you do ball pythons, but, I mean, you have one of the most eclectic collections. I mean, talk about some of the things that you're really passionate about that aren't ball pythons.
Water snakes. No, I don't know. Wood turtles? No.
Chipmunks. I know you like chipmunks. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I like chipmunks. It's monarch butterfly. Especially lately, you know, like the ball python things. I mean, it's like a standard, but at some point, to keep things interesting, and Brian, you certainly understand it, is we need to have new challenges, because there's so many animals in the reptile world that we're just like, we sit there and look at them and we're like, God, that thing is amazing, but it's very much unlike a ball python.
Yeah.
So we have to get those into our collections. We have to go through all, you know, the mistakes and kind of articulate through the husbandry before we can start dialing them in and actually breeding them. And, you know, so let's say it's like a mangrove snake. Mm-hmm. You know, mangrove snakes are not very well known. And generally when they are known, Brian, you know this, they're generally like wild caught. Dendrophila.
Yep.
And they are rear fanged, so they are venomous, but you know, it's not like, you know, anything like a lethal venom or anything. They're just venomous enough to make you respect them, but not venomous enough where a lot of people don't admire them and maybe someday want to keep them.
Lori loves mangrove snakes, right?
Oh yes, they just keep coming.
Yeah,
so happy.
Yeah, the thing is that we've produced mangroves for the last like 3 or 4 years and we haven't sold the one. No, we just keep them all.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, it's funny is, and that's part of the issue too, is while yes, you know, like you say, there's a learning curve, so we never worked with these. The ones we had were wild,
right?
So we never had babies, even we started out with adults, and
yeah,
then the first ones we hatched, honestly, we had really poor success,
right?
Because we didn't know what to do, and how do we learn in most things? Trial and error,
right?
You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's funny,
you'll lose.
Because now you know, the last several clutches that we've had actually are doing great. Like, we figured it out, you know, we figured out what the babies need,
yeah,
and now they are doing good, and now I'm happier. I guess I just get more angry when we have stuff and it doesn't work out, like, you know.
Yeah, so Lori, you're breeding Melanota, so you're breeding Boega Dendrophila Melanota, which is like the larger, less patterned one, which, I mean, they could grow, potentially males could go 9 foot plus on those. And that's probably one of the best mangrove species to play with, because if you're breeding and working with Boega Dendrophila, which is the smaller, many-banded one, which are exquisite looking, but I found them incredibly problematic as far as managing babies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to get eating, where Melanota is more forgiving.
Yeah.
And then you get into Boega Dendrophila divergens.
Yeah, those are nuts.
Those are a trick to hatch.
Really?
That is not like other mangroves.
So are they the same?
We know that they take that 90-100 plus days to hatch.
Yeah.
Wow. And then they take weeks just for the babies to shed.
Yeah,
that was the weird thing.
And those are the crazy ones. I don't know if we have the ability to. Do we have the ability to pull anything up?
Picture-wise?
No.
No. Okay.
It wasn't on the network.
That's fine. We're working on that. That usually Dendrophila or the divergents are ridiculous. They're like bluish.
Yeah, they're next level.
They're my favorite of all the mangrove snakes by far. And you bred your did you breed your albino to one?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
An
oh my gosh, that albino. And that's a Melanota, right?
Yeah. So yeah, because there's the Boega Dendrophila, there's been those albinos for a couple years, And that really hasn't taken off. And they are pretty, but I think it's because of the limitations, because they really, as babies, they want to eat lizards and frogs. But the Melanota, you can get straight on to rodents as you can the divergens. So this is the only albino Melanota that we know to exist.
Yeah, wow. This thing is ridiculous. It's,
like, exquisite.
And where did you get it from?
Sorry.
And where did you get it from? Like... That it's the only one.
Albino Melanotas are us.
Okay, that's cool.
yeah.
Okay, just, cool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Sumatra.
Is that like a country or something?
Yes. Yeah. Borneo, Sumatra.
Is that a country?
I don't know.
He's new to the import-export game. He doesn't understand these
things. New? Yeah. I haven't even started.
The world's flat? No, I just think the world's flat,
Lord,
too.
Let's not start.
It could be. No, I'm just joking. No. I do know a couple flat earthers, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of flat earthers, I have a guest that's going to tell me all about it coming in the future. So
really? About flat earth?
Flat earth and many more theories.
Huh. It is interesting. I mean, it's certainly possible.
Should I say.
It's certainly possible. I'm not going
to.
It ain't possible.
No, I mean,
it's certainly possible.
Kevin and I talk about a lot of crazy stuff, but yeah, flat Earth is not something I can. I think
definitely not something.
I think most of us will adhere to science usually, you know, instead of crazy speculation.
I agree.
So
like physics.
Yeah, physics are.
Just fundamentals of physics and
the laws of physics,
gravity, and
everything,
orbital rotation, and everything.
Yeah.
Did you just buy a book, Noah?
I did just buy a book.
What's it called?
It's called, actually, I don't even fucking know. I forgot.
For people in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly.
I got
astrophysics for people in a hurry.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Kevin, I could be completely off, but what did your dad do for a living? Wasn't he have something to do with,
My dad was a physicist.
Exactly.
So,
he's a PhD scientist, doctorate in microwaves. So, you know what? So systems that are mounted on Boeing 747s,
yes,
called an AWAC, and it's this big giant radar,
yep,
and they can fly way far away from where fighting is going on, and they can detect other air movement, and then eventually into a system called Joint Stars, which is actually that airplane detecting tank movement and, you know, vehicles on the ground.
And that
he's a theorist of microwaves and radar. Wow.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about with Kevin knowing so much about things. I've never known so much about AWACS before, but I know earwax, but that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, I get a lot of that.
Kevin's phone is now I just see Kevin's iPhone.
There he is.
Hey, he's back again. So
people are trying to call me, so.
Ah, no worries.
Yeah.
Hey, so are you guys open now?
We are partially open, the pet store.
Okay.
Nerd, we're not doing really any public tours or educational stuff. We do a teeny weeny bit. We did a private tour the other day. I got one of your kind of private tours,
okay,
where, you know, with me personally on Sunday. We decided we were going to do that.
Oh, that's good.
The pet store is open, but people wearing masks, and you're only allowed to go into certain areas.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very limited still.
Yeah, it's crazy. We started to, I guess it's been 5 weeks since we started to be able to reopen. The last 3 weeks, was it 3 or 4 weeks? I guess it's been 4 weeks now that we've had more numbers. So basically what we do now, Kev, is we go, now we're doing 35 people per hour at the Reptarium. So we're selling, whereas in the past it was $10 and you could stay all night, now we're selling 1 hour slots. But we just last weekend upped it to 35 people, which is still a very small group, you know, a very small number of people. But still, when you're talking, we're open 5 hours, at least now it becomes more worth it for us, obviously, to be open at, you know, because we can put, you know, 100 and whatever people in.
It's what a scary thing, because ultimately you have all of those animals you have to manage day in, day out, whether people are seeing them or not. You still have to do all the care.
Yep.
And at some point, that really can threaten your financial sobriety.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Without having people coming in and paying for them, and obviously appreciating all of your effort,
yeah,
and all the caging, and that's enough to really test your sanity, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I've spoken to you about, you know, and people that are watching know that I've dealt with some massive anxiety issues over the last few months, and it really was spurred on. The trigger was losing the ability to not just be open, because financially we were always pretty good, but it was just the loss of control, you know. Yeah. And not just the Reptarium, but not being able to do anything, you know. I mean, stuck and you know, New Hampshire seems to have gone pretty well, though, you know, as far as it seems.
Yeah, our numbers are not terrible. It doesn't seem like they're on the rise, or maybe it's almost like it stayed kind of status quo, if you could say that.
Right.
But we are, beneath us is Massachusetts, which is, yeah, one of the highest ranking as far, yeah, as infections, yeah, and deaths.
Really? Yeah, Boston. Yeah, Boston's bad. Yeah. Yeah,
Massachusetts is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, actually,
and then, you know, New Jersey and New York and all that crap.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, because we actually, ironically enough, we had someone from Boston yesterday as a tour, or maybe today, I can't remember. But it's scary because we have people from all over the country coming, you know, when we're open and stuff like that. But we do require masks when people come in and stuff like that. So it helps us a little bit. But it's a wild, wild experience. And what do you think? I mean, are you doing any reptile shows this year? Or are you going to stay away from them?
Well, Bob Ashley said that he thinks that Chicago is going to happen. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, he wants me to, I have to continue writing some of the ball python stuff.
Right.
Books.
Yes.
Because we're out of print for the most part, like the complete ball python, and we want to add, yeah, like another 100 pages to that book.
100 pages? Jesus Christ, dude. That's already.
No, not the ultimate.
Oh, yeah, I was good.
It's like that 740. And then he's like, oh, we're ready. We can do that too. But I'll start with the complete ball, because the complete ball python is completely out of print.
Sold, okay,
out, gone.
Wow.
You know, it's over.
That's awesome,
and
though.
So I guess I have to wrap my brain around that. But he was talking, he thinks that Chicago will be on.
Wow. I'm shocked about
whether
that.
Whether I do that, I don't really know. You know, I'm not a big fan of shows.
No,
I was
nor
gonna
am
say,
I.
You normally don't do a whole lot anyway.
It's a huge amount of energy. Yeah. And Brian, you and I both know we can be back at our places doing something that's tangible as far as taking care of our,
yeah,
animals.
Yeah.
And the phones are ringing. Stuff is being ordered. I don't need to do the shows to do business.
Yeah. Right. No, right.
I might need to do the shows to, you know, go in and meet new people and,
yeah,
and show that I'm actually, you know, a real living person or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very much it's a hardship, and it's very taxing on our time and our resources. And
yeah,
puts you through a lot.
Yeah, and the animals as well go through a lot of it. Let's, you know, I want to transition to something that, you know, Noah's obviously passionate about too.
What's,
and it's
this?
You know, so, you know, obviously over the last year, you know, you guys have done a lot of work on the social media side. You know, so obviously, okay, Noah has his YouTube channel. We have our YouTube channel. And you guys are crushing it on YouTube and social and everything else like that. I mean, how's that going for you guys? I mean, I feel like you're like one of those people that partially is into it, but partially hates it. And I'm not sure what it is.
I'm largely not into it.
It's everything.
We do it. I'm generally, you know, it's like a forced thing, because I just run around, just do my thing. And then people are like, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. And then I'll concede to that. I like it. Like some of the videos, when I have like a topic or I'm showing something that's important to me, and I have obviously so much weird stuff to show.
Yeah, you do.
And the one thing I do really like about doing it, it causes me to reflect on maybe the way I view something or something that I do that I take for granted, or I don't even, I'm not conscious that that's something unique. But then when other people are watching, either when we're filming it, but generally after we film it and Donnie puts it together and presents it, and then people respond to it. And I really like that.
Right.
I really like the comments and how people are talking, and it makes me think. So that part I'm really
good.
That's my enjoyment. That's literally my reward.
Which is probably opposite of most YouTubers, right? Like, most YouTubers are like, the comment section is the worst part of my job. But I agree with you. Our comment section is really good, part. Too.
It's really interesting. I've removed myself from, like, trying to argue with people.
Yeah, that's good.
Or, you know, you always get those handful of weird comments. These people, it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, and Brian, you know, it's like, are you actually talking about me or Nerd, or like, I don't understand what you're even talking about.
Right.
And no matter what, you're always going to have those people, and you're always going to have the thumbs down, and it doesn't really even bother me now. I've just completely, you know, mentally isolated my mind. But I'm really turned off by Facebook right now.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I lost Urban Dinosaur, Brian.
Really? What happened? What happened?
I don't know.
They just shut it down.
They shut it down. They suspended it, and they said that it violates their terms.
Which one are you?
Of service or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
We don't do sales. We don't really do anything. We don't do even live feed. And
right.
I think it's one of the most credible lizard, you know, type based Facebook groups.
Right.
And then when we said, you know, we don't agree that we actually, you know, run a pretty good thing, they came back and said, no, we've reviewed it and it violates terms of service. And then they sent me a delete. Like the Facebook delete and said your group has been deleted.
Oh my gosh. Well, first off, we'll talk afterwards. I'll talk to my Facebook manager about it. We might be able to get that group back for you. But this is the thing.
It's awful. I don't even understand.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem,
that's
though,
Facebook.
Right?
Pretty well, and it was a very buzz, you know, like a lot of movement. It was very active and people love it, and people are messaging me all over the place, and I'm like, I don't even want to talk because I'm so upset, because I feel like violated.
You put years into that, you know, and you were putting information out that, like you said, was really revolutionary. And but like I said, let me talk to my Facebook people and we might be able to get that group back for you, because
that would be,
you know,
that would be like magical.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't.
We had this happen.
I feel like they power tripped out on me,
no.
And then they wouldn't even tell me.
Well, they just
that's
don't
what
do
they
that.
Do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what they do. They say, go to the terms of service, and then that's all they say. And then you go, and then the terms of service is so broad. It's so broad. You're like, what the?
Ultimately, it's like an individual that might just be, like, I'll give you an example. We're monetized on Facebook.
Now,
right? We're monetized. So we'll upload a video, and it'll get demonetized, which happens a lot. Like, we don't get a lot of demonetization on YouTube, but we do on Facebook a lot because they're much, much tighter. But we can literally delete that video, re-upload it, and the next person that watches it monetizes it. So it's the same video, just one demonetizes and one monetizes because of the perception. So anyways, a friend of mine, Liz Cook, who's a pretty popular tattooer, she had like 1.2 million on her group, and it got deleted about a month ago, and we got hers back for her. So hopefully we can do the same for you.
And what was her offense?
She literally didn't know, same as you, like, didn't have any, it just went away. That was it.
And they wouldn't even tell me.
Yeah. Well, and they never do.
Tell me.
They never do. They never do. We're fortunate that we have an actual person that we can talk
to,
but
that is unbelievable.
But that's just the way it is. I'm not, you know, well, this is the thing I find interesting, right? Is that they can delete your monitor, educational monitor group, but yet they will not delete the reptile keepers that hate Brian Barczyk group.
Oh, which is crazy.
Hate speech.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, you could totally have that. You could have, like, you know, you can make up things and say horrible things about someone, and that's not against their terms of service. But when you're talking about a lizard, you know, that's violating your terms of service. That's got a big buzz on it right now, guys.
And that's got a pretty good buzz. So I'll tell you a couple other things. So
yeah,
the YouTube thing is obviously it's growing, and you know, and they, I guess,
that's no good.
The winter, something happened over the winter where they changed like the YouTube algorithm or something.
Yeah, they always do.
You know, we were averaging around like 5 million. Is that minutes? When I'm looking at my my beta analytics, I think it's like 5 million.
Minutes
or views,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably,
yeah. Yeah.
Now
yeah,
probably. We're hovering 3.6 to 4 million, and
right.
Brian, did you notice like just your overall YouTube success? Let's say from January has just changed. Is that because of the buying patterns?
There's a couple things. Here's that.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you hear? I don't think she could hear. Could you hear Lori or no?
I can hear her kind of being quiet, meek, like she should. Yo.
So you need to shut the hell up.
Yo, oh, that's horrible, baby. You know what you need? You need some moose guzz. You'll get some of them. You'll guzz a couple gallons of that a week or two. You'll be a filly. You'll be like strong, asserting yourself. You'll be doing dishes faster than you've ever done them, baby. Ever.
Jokes on you. I don't
care. Don't
yeah,
use
that's,
that.
That's,
yo,
that
that's what I'm telling you. You need to assert yourself. You got to get brave enough where you actually want to do dishes and you want to, like, fold the dishpan, towels, and do some cooking.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Where can we buy some of this shit?
I can't.
We need to get her on it.
Yeah. If she does do... like drink some moose guzz.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's moose not guzz. Moose milk. Moose milk is
okay.
Too timid. She
too
needs
timid.
Moose guzz.
Yes.
It uses chipmunk and red squirrel testosterone.
Testosterone.
From giblets.
Giblets.
Harvest the testicles of red squirrels and chipmunks.
Makes sense.
And then she'll benefit.
I get it.
Becoming less meek, and she might actually feed you food.
No.
And try to raise you properly.
No way.
You're not so meek.
No.
Wow.
That's not gonna happen. No.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
We gotta get some of this guzz.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
guzz, dude.
We gotta get some of this guzz.
You'll pound that out, and
wow.
You'll like be dating women, and women will be like falling all over you.
Damn, dude.
That epic swole. You'll be swole. You're looking kind of weak. You haven't been going to the gym.
I've been going to the gym.
Milky.
I've been. Well, I need to get on this fucking guzz, man.
Yo, dude, you bag out about a gallon and a half. Within 40 minutes,
it's so hot.
Keep it hot.
You'll need bigger shirts.
Yeah. Good.
Did you say he'll take bigger shits? Is that what you said?
But
yeah.
The women, the things will be falling on the ground.
Wow. That's good. I've been needing some of that extra guzzin' anyways.
Ew. Oh, my god.
I've been a little guzzless.
You realize that I have to totally edit like what I really normally say.
No, you don't have to. That's the one thing I will say. You could say whatever you want here. This is on the podcast.
No,
we don't keep it.
All right,
it.
Noah.
Yeah.
No, you be pounding out like at least like 4 or 5 quarts. Panties be dropping on the first date.
First date.
Be rocking it, and you'll be worried about paternity tests.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, where do I sign up? Is this like an email list or?
You gotta go on Jabroni Reptile.
Jabroni Reptile.
Okay. There's a lot of hate speech over there.
Yeah.
And then you need to look. You need to look because
everything is here.
Well, you gotta understand the boys over at Jabroni Reptile. They're terrified of doing any new videos because it could be listed as hate speech, and then that group's gonna be gone too. Strictly.
Yeah.
So right now, it's kind of suspended in animation. Something like that.
The funny thing is when you first did Jabroni Reptiles, it's been a couple years, right?
Oh, it's in me. I could rip on it if I wanted to, and I'm just behaving. Yes.
Yeah. But when you first did it, I think people thought it was real. Like, they didn't realize you were behind it.
Oh, dude. I got people angry. People fell for it. All this different stuff, and they didn't know it was me. Dude, I would go... So I'll tell you a little funny thing. So, Jabroni Reptiles called out this poser, Ben Siegel Reptiles. How pathetic they are, right? Then I'm talking, Jabroni Reptiles was talking to the manager, Amir. And then
I was
complaining, hey, who are these clowns over at Jabroni Reptiles? I'm like, dude, they're not clowns. Those guys are cutting edge and rich.
Yeah.
They're calling us out online. They're fucking smack. And then Jabroni Reptiles called out Strictly Reptiles. And said they were like poses and all this different stuff. And they were trying to like be like Jabroni Reptiles. So
they
get some recognition. It was
good.
It was pretty epic, yo.
Yo. And only just 100% factual. All Jabroni Reptiles is 100% facts.
Yes, 100% factual.
Dude, it is. It's, and if you can't handle it, it's because you're jealous. Because your ego is very small and timid.
Timid.
Like girls.
Exactly. And that's why you need the guzz up the guzzler. You gotta get the guzzler. I get
take
it.
A little wimpy pussy. Like
little
this
pussy.
Guy over here.
Over here.
Then blast out some, you know, some moose milk. Hey,
yes.
Noah, do you realize that the protein is rendered from Canadian
moose,
specifically
yep.
bull moose.
I've heard that.
We have a giant stable of male milking moose.
Male milk moose. Yeah.
And it's the perfect source of epic swole.
Swoleness. It's,
look at that guy.
It's impeccable.
That is so swole.
He's been on...
ripping with testosterone.
He's been on the moose milk for about 6 months now.
Yeah, 6 months moose guzz.
It's really good. The milking.
Yeah, dude, it looks like you got a couple bottles of like the little wannabe like
moose milk.
It looks like,
he's got mouse milk.
I'm about to say, dude, is that muscle milk? Because that is
no.
The weak shit.
Dude, there ain't no Canadian bull mooses in that shit.
Nah. None of them.
Oh my god.
Yo, you want to hit a couple super chats?
Yeah, let's hit a couple super chats really quick, Kev. See if there's anything we can talk about.
Awesome, Hank, awesome.
Go ahead.
All right.
This is Jay talking, by the way.
What up, Kev? All right, so we got Bosham says, made it on, hell yeah. Yeah. F it, we do it live.
We're live.
We do it
baby.
Live, man. This definitely didn't start well. I don't know if it's going well.
It seems like it. We're still tweaking a little
still
bit, but
tweaking.
Everything's good. But
yeah, because that's
good.
The way we do things. So constantly thank you so
tweaking.
Much for that. Go ahead, go ahead, Jay.
Rebecca says, hey, guys, love you. Hi, Kevin. Nice to see some new people.
Hello.
All right, good. Thanks, all Rebecca.
Right. All right, next up we got... Acer says, pop in to say hi, can't stay, have some work to finish.
Ah, well, hey, man, go get some work done, man. Good thing somebody's working around this part.
Go back
to
work, Ramos.
For gosh sakes, I know it's not our crew that's working.
And then
our crew's great, I'm joking.
We got Sam and Boa who says, Kevin, you are the King Diamond of Reptile Keepers. When are you pairing up your IMG to your Argentines?
Ooh.
You know, I started doing that. And I was actually having an IMG combo breeding in Argentine. And then, like, I have, like, really nice Argentines, too.
Yeah.
I only have two pairs.
Right.
So I was kind of like, but everybody's dying for, like, really nice Argentines.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, I started doing it, and then I pulled back, and I put it with the male Argentine. So I have one that's rabid right now.
But you don't know
you
who
know
the dad
Boa's.
Is. Yeah.
Like, you can sit here and bank on something. Everything's great, and you come in there, and it's all slugs or whatever.
Yeah, you know what's crazy?
So,
like it's.
I kind of leaving it up to the morph gods or whatever, and see what actually comes out of it. But I did do a breeding of that.
You know what's crazy is it's crazy how the Argentines, like 10 years ago, you could hardly give them away. Yeah, you know, I mean there was like so many.
I got rid of my entire group because of that.
We did too, because we couldn't sell them for like $60. We literally couldn't sell. Yeah. Sometimes $40, and so now
the babies sit there and like.
Yeah, now it's like people are dying to get them. I mean, they like you could sell them for $250 all day long. It's crazy, you know. But they are a really cool animal. I love them. They're big. They're
what makes them unique.
Well, they're really dark, and the IMG that Kev was talking about is basically, you know, increasing melanin. So it's this beautiful black, silky, almost like the Motley Golden Child stuff and the boas. But the Argentines are naturally that dark, really beautiful, almost motley-ish looking. It's just a beautiful, beautiful snake.
Don't you agree that that's in right now is like a solid black is in?
Yeah.
It's well, like yeah, the really Mexican a... black, the those yeah. what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Is like,
people... Are you producing any more of those, Kevin? The black ones?
Of what?
The jet black ones, Motley Golden Child.
Oh, the retics?
Ones. Yeah.
You know, we'll see. I did a kind of a my breeding season this year. I did less because you know this whole COVID hits, and then you're like blown away, and you're like,
yeah,
everything. It's very hard to like stay focused, and we were definitely affected. So it bred less retics. So it's kind of be like, we'll see what actually goes. And it just seemed like it was a weird year for me breeding retics in general.
Really?
You know, like a lot of stuff breeds, but it doesn't actually take.
Now, do you have, I'm going to need your help here. Can you help me out for a second?
Yeah.
I really would like to convince Lori to let me get one of your pied retics. Aren't they amazing?
No.
They are. And no. I can give you like a pied retic that
no.
doesn't want to bite you and doesn't want to pee all over you. No.
See that, Lori?
What?
Can you hear Lori?
No,
can you guys hear Lori or no?
Work, but it's
I can't hear her.
I can hear Lori, but you know what,
okay,
dude?
Good.
It's look, dude, bro. She
look,
sounds
dude,
like
bro,
Rick
it's not the retickarium.
She's extra mousy
I
today.
I hear all this, Brian.
I don't know.
You know what?
I don't think I like that
shit. And I'm gonna head right to New Hampshire to kick your ass if you don't shut
look,
up.
Look here, you dingy broad.
You little skinny motherfucker. I'm going to come and I'm going to kick your little bony ass.
Talk about his ponytail.
Yeah,
you know what
with
that
weak
like?
Little tiny braid. What the fuck is going on here?
Say you're going to pull his ponytail and his hair is going to fall out.
That's what you sound like.
Dude, no. Yo. Yeah. Talk all big and bad so far away.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
Oh shit!
Yeah, you know it, baby.
We're gonna have to get the
now. I'm packing up a few other retics and sending them back to him. That's what's going on now. That's what's happening.
I really do. I would love to get a pied retic though. I mean, they are the ones that Kevin has are so beautiful. You know, they are really ridiculous. Now, why are they? Is there more genes to those that make them that way?
Which one are we talking about?
I'm talking about the pied retics that are like super, like, you know, just that the ones you had last year.
Yeah, it was, I bred, I kept these two weird ones and I bred them together. And normally you get a lot of like low white pied expression. And these look different than, let's say, like my other pies.
Yeah.
And there's something else going on. I don't know what it is, but it seemed to work out really well because it made like this. This litter was like not like what it should be. And and these animals were like unique and had this black edging. So
yeah, though they were gorgeous.
I guess more time. So this year I bred the male.
Sounds great.
To an unrelated female that was more like a very nice pied, but it's not expressing this. So if we get, she's due to lay soon and then, you know, we'll see what we hatch and we'll see how that transfers out.
Right, gotcha. Now, what's the update on Boland's pythons? Anything? it's a touchy one.
I'm still, dude. They confused me. I had a female, a gravid female. I even did a video of it, and I fucked up, and I left her in my other group. I don't really even know why I did it. I was almost not convinced that she was gravid, that I like had seen ovulation. And I was like, oh my God, you know, are these, you know, just like really big follicles. And I did something really stupid and I noticed she was coiled up really, really tight. And anytime another snake touched her, she was really, you know, like always like shrugging them off. And I was stupid and I should have removed her from the group because I left her in the group and I came in and she was hanging in an arboreal nest box and she was hanging out of the hole and she was dead.
Oh my gosh.
And
Jesus, that
screwed me up so bad.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry,
I saw
dude.
Her like the day before and she was fine and I don't know what happened initially. So she was dead, and I was kind of like, you know when like something dies and you're like, I can't believe this is even real,
right,
or whatever. So it took me about 5 days before I did like a basic necropsy, and we did it, we actually videoed it, because you know, I was like, I didn't understand what was going on. So the very first egg towards her head had ruptured.
Oh my god.
And we did a whole video of it. I think she had 11 eggs.
Wow.
11 or 13 eggs. But we did a whole video, and she was clearly gravid. All the eggs were right down to the vent.
Oh my gosh,
and,
dude.
That kind of screwed me up. And then I think I did something stupid, and I separated my bolens, pythons, not exactly knowing that where they were in cycles. And that kind of like screwed up what I was doing. So I'll have to revisit that. Yeah, at the moment.
They are such a weird animal.
Unlike any other snake.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, they're it's wild. I mean, we just have the one that we got from you, but it is
right.
It is bizarre.
Is it in the Reptarium?
It's actually reptarium. It's at BHB. We put it at the Reptarium, and it's stressed out. Like, it did not like it at all. I mean, it, like, we had it only there for, like, two or three days at the Reptarium.
Okay, did you put it back into a drawer where it was?
Yep, we did. And it's done great ever since.
Yeah, so, you know, and that was, like, a good straight-up snake. And you're like, oh, he's not eating. And I'm like, oh, great. This is the stress thing. Once they settle and they decide, okay, I want to eat, it's just like a switch turns on.
Yeah.
Is he a good eater again?
Oh, it's never refused meals, it's no different
than when we sell
okay,
a ball
so
python,
I just
you
think
know?
You'll yeah. go from having it at BHB or wherever, and then when you do put it into the cage, that transition, and it'll probably go seamless.
Yeah.
I think it's the shipping.
Yeah.
Something about
well,
the shipping.
Well, it's okay. I'm in
they,
no,
like,
yeah.
They freak out, and they just, like, they lose
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
well, plus,
now I'm in
it's
no
already
hurry.
Bigger because it's been
oh,
eaten
it's
like
just
crazy.
Like,
yeah. We already moved it into a much larger tub and
yeah, and it's
stuff
eating
like
in
that,
the big tub
so,
now, and, I mean, yeah. it's doing great.
I think
mean,
it's just a matter of getting established.
Yeah, it just, it, yep. but it freaked me out. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, 2 days into it,
oh, yeah.
I was like,
ready
oh
to
my
send
God.
It back.
I was
I'm done.
Like,
I'm done.
I thought it was going to die. I seriously thought it was going to die. I mean, it really
Brian's
did.
Brian's like the worst customer ever.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like freaking
the
out.
The ones man. That we love.
No, but they really did. It was like, it was, I'm not even kidding you. Like, it's like movement was really strange. It had its like mouth gaping. I mean, like really crazy stuff. And then we put
all that
mouth
went away.
Gape.
We yeah. put that in a tub. And within like a day, it was acting completely fine. And like 2 days later, it ate, and it's never refused meals since.
I threw food in there.
Dude,
it ate because
it lived. It just like lived in a bin where it's really comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when I was breeding my bolens, and I got freaked out, I separated my females into drawers, and every single one that I put into a drawer went into this immediate stress out, and it
really
totally changed everything, and it was a mistake I did.
Okay.
I really made a mistake.
But it's again, there's
and
no
I,
there's
I,
no
I just
book
got freaked out.
Yeah.
I didn't know where they were.
Yeah.
And that they just went through like this whole psychological period of stress.
Yeah, it's
just
really
because
weird.
I did just that.
Yeah, it's so weird that an animal can be like that.
But with this experience though, did you learn what to do in the future to correct it?
I think I learned some stuff. So once they are gravid, they have like this different behavior. And I was kind of like pinching myself, like, is she gravid? And I think what happened was, so she was going in this arboreal hide box, but there was other snakes that were going into this same kind of pattern. And what they did is they bothered her by touching her. And she got really defensive, and I think it caused her to, you know, move around, and she was hanging this thing, and I think it ruptured this egg.
Yeah.
So I pulled my other girls, and I put them in these drawers.
Interesting.
And they didn't want to commit to ovulating. They had it turns out they had massive follicles.
Mm.
But I was scared, and I should have just left them. And then once they ovulated,
then
separate pull them.
Them.
So I should have put the gravid one into a drawer, realize that the other ones, and it's very hard to realize that they're gravid or not.
Yeah.
I thought they potentially were gravid, and I basically interrupted the whole cycle.
Yeah.
So,
well, again,
I got,
you know,
like, the temperature thing down. I figured out what temperatures work.
Yeah.
And all that and how to do it. So I just have to.
Yeah, so next year you'll crush it. That's right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's the name like of I the was game. Saying earlier, that isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
You know, as keepers with new species, you're playing with them, you're figuring it out.
Well, and I think that's the thing that's so interesting about the reptile hobby in a way is that, you know, we were doing that back in the late 80s and early 90s with everything. You know, I mean, we didn't even know, you know, what certain incubation temperatures were, you know.
Hell yeah.
We were just kind of playing with things, and now with the internet, everyone has kind of been able to use what we've, not just us, but the Bob Applegates and all the other people, that Ernie Wagner's of the world and stuff like that, that did all those years ago. But there's still species, like you said, not only Bowl and I, but there's a lot of monitor species and lizard species that we're still figuring out as well. So I think that makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's always that way. And you have the psychology of these animals, which I've kind of keyed in on. And these different groups of animals have all these different levels of psyches. And some of that, it's literally the mental state of that animal needs to be considered when you're breeding them or when you're keeping them as a pet. In the success and why some are better captives and other ones are not, and basically tying in with like awareness and intelligence of these animals, and that can completely change your whole relationship with the animal and how much you enjoy them as a pet because they give back so much.
Yep.
And just basically understanding each different species.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask a question to you about reptile intelligence.
Yeah.
In your experience, what has been the most intelligent animal you have worked with in your long career?
Yeah.
The most intelligent, reptile, Noah?
Yeah, exactly. That you've experienced. I mean, again, this is an opinion. I'm not asking you for a fact, but just in your opinion, the animal, the reptile you worked with that you thought has been the most intelligent.
I'm blown away by water monitors, Varanus salvator.
Yeah.
Varanus salvadori croc monitors.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too.
As far as lizards, like a water monitor, their ability to be aware of what's going in the room, articulate unique people.
Yeah.
Motions in the room, other animals in the room, how they respond to it. And they just don't just look at the room and just see things. Mm-hmm. They see it and basically dissect, is that something I need to be fearful of? Is that something that scares me?
Figure
is that something that's interesting to me? Do I know you? Do I trust you? Oh, there's a stranger in the room. I'm going to totally change my behavior.
Yeah.
And how they know one person from another, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And the relationships I can have with these animals is something you might have with a dog, a cat, or a bird.
Yeah, and that's what. Go ahead.
And then one other question is like, so do you think that we know very minute amounts of information about how smart these reptiles actually are? Do you think we have so much more to learn, or do you think we got it?
We have way more to learn, but I feel like I've been learning a lot in, let's say, the past 10 years about the whole mindsets of these animals, and I've kind of had like an awakening of what I'm getting out of them. And the more I have an awakening, the more I question things, and I'm also realizing other animals. With this awakening, I look at other people and how sometimes, and like they keep animals or what they think of themselves, and it also makes me appreciate how incapable they are, or how not remarkable.
Yeah,
how not. I do have. I really, you know, some of the pet YouTubers
people.
Or whatever
the pet people.
It really, to me, they're somehow they've been overvalued, or they overvalue themselves, or their audience is overvaluing them, and it. Like, I think the people that should be appreciated aren't necessarily appreciated. Like, you know, Brian, we have like the Eugene Bissettes.
Yeah, yeah,
in,
yeah.
In our background,
yeah.
Who, when we were just learning about this stuff, you're looking at these people that inspired us that were very successful.
Yeah.
And they're still there and they're not considered, but you got some fucking
dumbass
dribbling dildo,
yeah,
that is doing something.
Yeah.
They're getting attention, yeah, and they're being revered or, yeah, respected. And in some cases, it is with merit. In other, yeah, cases, it's like, oh,
well, I think that, you know, like you said, it's taken me, and I know you, a lifetime to come to the realizations. I mean, for me personally, I've been very vocal about the fact that my complete perception of keeping reptiles has changed in the last 3 years, and their intelligence, and like you said, their relationship. I mean, Elvis, who obviously came from you, is one of the most incredible reptiles I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, he is, you put a bucket in the middle of the aisle and he immediately is like, why is that bucket there? It wasn't there yesterday. Like, why is it there? I'm going to go investigate it. You know, and he knows every single part of our shop. I mean, he knows every nook and cranny. Yeah. If you leave a door open,
he's in
going
there.
In that, yeah, door. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as that door is cracked, he's going in that door. You know, and so obviously we have a lot more experience with water monitors, you know, not your experience, but we've been working with them now for a bit, but we just got our first captive yearling croc monitor, and this is, I know Bruce is here as well with us. Bruce is heading up the kind of training on this thing, and this animal's very confident. It will eat off of tongs, already starting to recognize target training with the red ball. But I mean, like, that's an animal that's got a big penalty, man. I mean, where do you go from here?
Well, so I don't, like, there's all these people that are being really great with the target thing and they have the red balls. I'm like literally putting my hand,
yeah,
to them, and I'm trusting how I read the animal. You know, you're talking to the animal because they know your voice.
Right.
They know what you smell like. They know what you look like. They know your mannerisms. And I'm watching, you know, you got to make sure when you're interacting with these animals, you're working in the thinking mode. Remember the modes?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And if that animal is like, is going back and you're coming in on it, you know, and that animal's in a defensive mode and it's not outwardly acting towards you in a thinking mode, you know, there's an outward, I want to eat you mode, you know,
right.
I want to eat, you know, chicken. But when it's coming to you and there's a little bit of side to side and the tongue flicks or that taking in things in the eye, the dilation and the blinking, you know, Brian, all those little things,
sure,
I yeah, talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you get in there and then it's very important that it knows your hand has nothing to do with food. And the
right.
And I'm putting my hand right there. And it comes up and there's like the short tongue flicks, the dilating, and it's, that is that contact. And if you keep using tools,
mm-hmm,
I think you're slowing down the breaking of the ice to actually have that relationship with the okay. animal. So if the animal is just kind of coming out to you and doing this, not wanting to eat, you need to, you, Brian, particularly, because I trust your behavioral insight and instinct that animal is seeing you as, ooh, you're interesting, or I trust you, but you need to work on that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I agree with you.
The mechanics, anybody can do mechanics. I can do a red ball. This means food. I do a blue ball and it means it's not, or whatever it is. These are all mechanics and it all can be learned in a book.
Yeah.
And everything I do is I just made it up.
Yeah.
And no one taught me this. This is all trial yeah. and error and just what I did. But this is how I kind of like broke through a lot of it. And
well, again, I remember when you first started this 10 years or so ago, the monitor world thought you were a fool. You know, yeah. And now no, seriously, and now you are, I think, worldwide, your technique is used, you know, to tame these animals, and that's what we're just trying to do.
I still have my fingers.
Yeah, that's amazing in itself. I tell you what, I showed Bruce the a video of a little, you know, yearling croc monitor just taking a little love nip on a guy. Holy moly. Yeah. That love nip was like 15 stitches.
It sliced them like pastrami.
Yeah, so they got the straight down sabers with a really good blade on it. Lace monitors have the same thing.
Mm, yeah.
We got both of them. Yeah,
got one of those too.
Jessica got bit by a lace monitor.
Really?
Yeah.
Today?
She does the same thing. She puts her hand out. It crawls on her hand, stuff like that. And not today, like a couple weeks ago.
The hand underneath the chin and into the chest.
Yeah.
With the tongue flicks and then willing to put a leg up on you is magic. That is like the whole next level where the animal, okay, I want to come on you.
Yeah. And that's what you know? We've been doing. Weirdly enough, the lace monitor just for some reason just decided. And she said she thought that maybe there was a little chicken juice on her, like, because we were feeding. And she thought that it might have smelled chicken juice because it just took a little love nip on her. Didn't do anything too bad to her, but it was on her arm, and then it just went, derp, just bit her real quick. So it was, but thankfully it didn't rip her open. She had a, you know, nice little tooth mark, but it was not too bad. But that Lacey's been proven to be pretty interesting because it's still not super confident around us in the intelligence.
Yeah, so
mode, you know?
They get nervous and they'll do these little bum rushes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or, you know, just whatever. And I think it's like that fear aggression.
Yeah.
It's just trying to keep you at a distance.
Yeah.
Where like you've invaded its thing and it actually has to do this little momentary aggression.
Right. Sounds like Phoebe.
Yeah, like
my
puppy.
Great Dane.
Yeah, Great Dane, yeah.
You know, but you know, feel the dogs and stuff like that. They get scared, and then all of a sudden they go into like this attack mode because they're scared, and the only way they can deal with it is to act aggro and make you back off.
Yeah.
And these guys will do these little bum rushes. You know, even croc monitors can do it. There are similarities, but I think the lace are more apt to do that, considering we were dealing with, you know, completely multi-generation in captive animals,
right,
far removed from the wild, but we still are dealing with all this.
Yeah.
Whereas the crocs, we don't really have a lot of, you know, F1 options.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you thought that water monitors thought more before they reacted, and croc monitors react
more. I definitely said that. So they're more, maybe less reactive, more discerning as far as their mental state.
Yeah.
And they'll articulate through something where a croc monitor might react on its reactiveness and its insecurity and fear, reacts, then brings it back and then thinks. Whereas a lace monitor, largely, except for excluding some of these wonderfully tame animals that we can have, but the species itself is more reactive and works on that first before it's even willing to use its brain. So I think water monitor is the ultimate, and then you have the croc monitor a little bit below that, and then the lace would be below that.
Wow, that's crazy. It's so weird, you know, because, you know, we're
it
trying to
makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, it's interesting with, like, our water monitors. You'll see they'll, like, first off, they know how to open the cage, right?
Oh.
Like, they like, they'll go for the lock.
Figure that out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. But then as soon as you open up the cage, you think they just bust out, but then they don't.
No
they immediately, then they spend 5 minutes just smelling, like, okay, well, now do I want to come out? What's going on? You know? And
right.
And but it's pretty magical to see that reaction of, like, I'm trying to get out. Now I can get out, but now I want to think about what I want to do, where I want to go, how do I want to do. And like you said, ours literally will come right up to me. You know, and come up to Bruce, and literally, I mean, it could go anywhere in the entire shop, but it'll come right up to us and then smell us and be right up our leg. And I mean, it's climb up
on you.
Yeah.
Because they crave.
They crave. Someone called them.
Yeah, someone called
them. He was like, they crave your attention and your, like, you're exciting and interesting, and they're so curious.
Yeah.
So you're helping them fulfill. Yeah.
I think he's basically, they're like kids.
You're the center. Yeah. Sorry, I keep getting phone calls.
No, it's okay.
You're the center of this activity.
Yeah.
And they want to be part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have the freedom to be able to walk around in a room, go under something, and they go under, and then they come out, and there's dust bunnies on them.
Yeah.
You've truly now...
No.
Damn. I love the suspense.
Sorry. No, don't worry about it.
Yeah, very persistent person.
Yeah, I think it's well, that's the thing about, I think, what we do at the Reptarium that we're always so excited about is when people see a water monitor, they see a rhino iguana run out, or they, you know, see these things that just don't make sense for what people think reptiles are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we have every day, whether we're open at the Reptarium or we have a private tour, whatever, people come in and they are blown away at these animals. I mean, they're like, I have never seen, I mean, Bella, my rhino iguana, literally comes to her name. You know, Diddy and Dixie are rhino iguanas. You just tap on the ground, they jump out of their cage and come visit you. You know, I mean, it's, you know, obviously the water monitors and so many, you know, even one of the things that we're doing now is we're starting to target train snakes as well, which is interesting. Like yesterday, I took the Motley Golden Child that I got from you, who's very food aggressive.
I'm on the phone, Dan. I'm in a meeting.
He's very food aggressive, super, super good. Hey, tell him what's up. Hey, what's up, dude?
What's up, bro?
We've known him for 30 years, too.
What are you doing? You're on video right now. I'm watching.
Just tell him not to take his pants off.
Yeah.
Whatever he does. But what's going on, dude? So my point was is what? That.
What?
Nothing.
Go away. We're in a fucking meeting.
That's Kevin's life right there in a nutshell. So anyways, point is that this retic is super food aggressive.
Yeah.
And, what'd you guys say?
Oh, I was saying that this retic, the golden child, the black one I got from you, is like super, super food aggressive. Good animal other than that. So I've literally, interestingly enough, I did do ball target training with him. And just yesterday, literally, I had a frozen pig and I had a ball in my left hand. And literally, it followed the ball wherever I would go with the ball, just ignoring food, 100%. I mean, it's crazy how intelligent a snake can be that way, too, yeah. You know? I mean, you would never think that a snake would be able to be target trained so easily.
And yeah, I was going to say, and so quick, too. It's been four times we've done it.
Yeah, this is the fourth time we've tried it, and it already associates the color of the ball with food more than food.
Well, okay, so reticulated pythons are literally one of the pinnacles as far as intellect.
Yeah.
And able to get through a situation.
Jeez, man, somebody really loves to call.
It's amazing. Five times the first call.
That's okay. Just tell them to tune into the Bar Check Checking In podcast. They'll know. They can talk to you through that. They can super chat us.
There you go. That's smart.
But you were saying, so retic's super smart.
Yeah, sorry, I was getting distracted. Yes. So the retic, they just, their intellect is really pretty substantial, like reticulated pythons, you know, obviously king cobras.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually. I was going to ask you, king cobras to me are one of the most amazing animals on the planet. You work with retics, you work with king cobras. Is it the same level or different of intelligence?
Well, obviously, you have the whole touch orient with retics. So that helps an animal further establish what it thinks of you, because I'm able to have this wonderful, flowy, soft relationship with the retic that it's sorry, people are messaging me, Jesus Christ. And it helps give you a round.
Dude, somebody really loves him.
He's an important guy, you know. He's a class.
So. We need to put
six times.
So, but you obviously can't have that relationship with the king cobra,
right?
You can't, like. Well, I mean, you could.
Yeah. So, but I think once you can, either it's de-venomized or you're willing to, you know, take these liberties. you will have that remarkable, touchy, soft, rounded thing because it has that same level of intellect. King cobras are, God, they're so significant in how I perceive them, and their wariness and their thought to pause and to think. But we revere that because it's this animal that can kill you.
Yeah.
And so the king cobra, maybe it's a pseudo extra level of respect, but the king cobra is like pinnacle.
It is. I've always said that. I mean, that's an animal that I would die to own. Lori is not into letting me own one, but it's one day. Nope. Hopefully I will.
It's probably... Oh my God. So Lori, the captive nope. ones, and when you raise them nope. up, they are just, they're lovely.
They are still venomous.
They think. Yeah. And they just are not, you know, it's just, they just
listen,
don't
Kevin,
have.
You and Brian are on the same plateau and mind wave.
Yeah, y'all should just marry each other.
Brian,
yeah, exactly.
Brian,
and guess what? You both be dead. Because somebody has got to think
Brian,
the logistics of what's going
Brian,
on.
My dishpan hands.
You know what? I swear to God, motherfucker.
My fingers are soft.
You know what? You better hope you don't see me because dude. I don't even think so.
Wait a minute. I'm hearing my new sketches.
You know what? No,
teeth.
Who the hell? You don't even know me. Uh-oh. How long have you thought you know me? Because none of what you're saying
look,
is even close
she's,
to
what,
buy
she's
me.
Celebrating, she was able to bench press 15 pounds today.
Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's her PR, okay. Personal record right there. 15 damn. Pounds. Yep. It's good stuff.
Oh God.
Well, that's both. Yo, first of all, let's recognize that's both biceps combined.
Yeah.
So that means each bicep can like bench like 10 pounds a piece. Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah, that's exactly. That's
combined
exactly.
Together, I think that works out about right.
Yeah. 10 plus 10 is 15.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that, bitch?
I got a problem with you, Dick.
Hey,
no.
Jay, do we have any other...
No, I got you. I'm not interested in any of that feminine hate speech that you dribble on about.
Yeah, exactly. I know, what I do.
I know you can make a sandwich better and faster than me.
No, 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 actually. No,
she fucking can't. No, she cannot.
It's not that I can't. It's that
no,
I won't.
It's that you can't. You
listen,
can't.
Kevin,
I have no desire.
Listen, Kevin.
No, and I also know that your ability to coupon is definitely better than what's
now
better.
That's true.
Now that can be true.
Now that's
listen,
true.
Kevin. Noah, what did you eat for lunch every day your mom made you for lunch during school?
Oh, fuck. I mean, half the days I would eat.
Shut the fuck up. I'm
shut the fuck up, Noah.
I'm in a Zoom meeting. Oh, okay. Well, it means like everybody, Jeremy's here.
Oh, Jeremy!
God damn it.
Jeremy, what's up, brother?
Where's your trumpet at, dude?
Why? Did Dan attract you over here?
No.
It's becoming like, Tara called me like, 7 times. Yeah. And I'm like, can't get...
She heard you were making fun of
can
Lori
you,
and
you,
is trying
hey,
to control
Mark,
you.
Oh!
That is true.
And Dan comes over and thinks that it's time to sit down and look at me. And what do you want?
I heard this was done.
No, well,
almost.
It pretty
close.
Much is.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Like, Kevin's just talking stupid shit. So it's pretty much
Lori,
done.
And Lori's like talking like she's talking about like dishpan
no.
hands.
I'm talking about kicking
that.
Your ass because you're an idiot.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
That she bench pressed 15 pounds today on her own without Brian.
Jeremy knows Lori well.
Saying that this fight needs to happen.
Yes.
I tell you what.
I will put my bank account on her.
Where is this thing even being broadcast? Because I thought we're just in a Zoom meeting.
we're totally
nope,
Zoom meeting.
It's all it's all on the YouTube, man.
I don't know. I don't know.
Kevin thinks it's just us.
Are people commenting? You're such a dumbass.
You don't even know what it's like to even hang with the giant intellect and the massive swole
of Jeremy?
The side effects of moose milk.
Yeah, exactly. Live. You're seeing them live.
Oh my God, baby, you need FedEx to deliver cases.
I need some of that shit.
If you even want to be on the same page.
I need some of that shit. I'll inject it in my eyeballs.
Yeah. Do we have any super chats? Yeah, Jay, let's catch up on this. We're going to jump on.
Jason A said, as an admin for reptile breeders for Brian Barchek, I'm willing to bet it's a reply to a post that was asking to buy, sell, or rehome.
Oh, I see what you're saying. He was talking about the group. Yeah, I agree with you, Jason.
Okay, say that again, please.
Yeah, so he was basically saying that if in your group someone talks about buying, selling, trading, anything like that, it can be a violation of term. You can't hear me?
Okay, so
Brian, talk in the microphone.
Yeah, I am talking. What it is, if in your reptile group, but don't worry, we can figure it out. If someone talks about buying, selling, trading, anything like that, it's a violation of terms of service.
But we have it right on the top. No buying, no selling, blah blah blah. We did all this. We delete the stuff.
Yeah.
So if somebody posts something and it would be very rare. We delete it when we see it.
Yeah, well, like I said, we'll dive deeper into that. Don't worry about it. We'll get my manager on it, so don't worry too much about that.
Word. Olivia says, "Hey everyone, I have internet for now, so I wanted to pop in and ask how the baby ball pythons are doing."
Baby ball pythons are doing great for us. How's your season going? Are you getting eggs?
Yeah. My season is behind and it's just a later season for us, but
yeah. Well, you crushed it last year.
We'll be bringing some ball pythons. I think probably next year I'll probably get back on it. I really did get distracted this year and just some stuff. So
yeah, well, last year it seemed like you had
they'll just be in prime shape for next year.
Yeah, last year it looked like you crushed it. So I mean, sometimes it's hard to get to. Yes. Yeah. So all right, go ahead.
Next one is Stephanie. She threw $50. Stephanie Bosio. She's always on here.
Yeah, you're always great, Stephanie.
She says, "Love you guys. Lori is the best money for your wine fund."
Thanks, Steph. That's so nice. Thanks, Steph.
That'll help the harassment.
Yeah.
Next is Rebecca King. She says, "I've been trying to raise money to come see, come see us trying for the end of the year."
Mm. I hope you do. That we'll have a great time if you can come visit us. That'd be awesome. We gotta get Kevin out here to the Reptarium. I've been trying to get him out here forever, man.
Can I do a super chat too? Somebody's asking me right here. Sarah wants to know. She says, Lori, what detergent is less foamy and is the best value for the money when doing dishes?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Since Noah does the dishes, Sarah, most of all, what do you think, Noah?
Yeah. No, but Lori, it was directed towards
yeah,
you.
But I don't do dishes.
Trust
so
me.
So you're actually saying that, Sarah, I actually don't know.
That's I'm saying, true. Sarah, I don't care.
What happened to girl power?
You know what? I'm not into stupid girl power. If a girl wants to be stupid about shit, then no.
I'm
not.
I'm going to respond to Sarah. Sarah, Lori says,
"You're a dumbass."
You are stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, she just gave me a sad face. I guess she didn't like your comment.
Good.
Damn.
All right.
Sad face.
I guess I won't do any more super chats. Yeah. You're going to be rude like that. I can't believe how rude. You know what it is? Probably because you're a superstar.
Yeah.
And you're like, you don't care about the little people that are
It's not about
using dishwashers.
It's not about the little people. I literally just don't care about anybody. Okay? It's not. I don't discriminate.
Yeah, Lori doesn't care about
my anybody. My hate don't discriminate.
Exactly. Knowing about me, they know I hate everybody.
Exactly.
Because I hate the human species.
Thank you. I'm right there with you. We can agree.
You and that's probably why we get along so well, Kevin, is you and Lori are so much alike.
He's used to it.
I'm used to it. Okay. You got anything else for us?
Yeah. We got Robert. He actually brought tamales last week.
Robert.
Dude, so good.
Kevin, this guy brought a bunch of tamales, right? Tamales? Have you ever eaten tamales?
He knows what a fucking tamale is.
No, not the candy.
Not
like,
the candy.
No.
No,
no,
actual,
an actual tamale.
Yeah,
like a homemade
Mexican
tamale.
My mistake.
Oh, wow.
No. So anyways, Robert brought these amazing tamales.
Yeah, fucking baked beans, yo.
No.
But legitimately, Robert, these tamales were the
thank
the,
you.
Oh,
they were,
gosh.
They were some of the best I've ever had, and I've had a lot of really good homemade ones, dude. Ugh.
So,
so what he actually ended up saying, he wanted to know which one you guys like the best and where do I send my resume?
to be my personal chef.
That's it, dude.
So he sent pork, chicken, cheese and jalapeno.
Yeah.
I like the cheese and jalapeno, but they were a bit hot.
Yeah, nah. I'm telling you what. I'm
but
not
they were great.
I'm not a hot person, and the pork were the non-spicy. I ate all of them. Even,
literally all of them. Even
yeah,
ours.
I did. I ate all of them, including the cheese and jalapeno. I just picked the jalapeno out. It was still hot as hell. It burned my mouth, but it still tasted so
good. Yeah, so it was good. So send your resume.
Thumbs up to all of them.
Send your resume, man.
Awesome. Jose says, just threw $5 and said, good stuff. So
thanks.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jose.
Soulless Honky's back in the building.
Hey,
says,
Soulless,
hey Kevin, sitting here playing guitar, looking like your evil twin. Lost my job and place in the last week, but this makes me feel better. Hey, sorry to hear that, man.
Sorry, Soulless. So Soulless, meet Evil Morph God. You guys are quite the couple.
You're going to have a lot of different job opportunities in the future because there's going to be a lot of rehires and all this different stuff. So I think it's you might be able to even change it up and you might find some that might even actually be opportunities.
I love that.
Yeah, area.
I love that.
You can start an OnlyFans.
Wait, wait a second. Was that positivity from Kevin?
I know,
that was
right?
Really good. I almost fainted.
Was that positivity from you? Was that something
positive?
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Not something an evil
person
would say.
I was confused.
Yo, I want to get back to this little honey over here.
Oh, God.
Those tamales. It sounded like she was acting like a pig.
Hell yeah.
Lori can
I was eating so many of those things. Not like a lady.
No, I don't eat like a lady.
Lori literally can out-eat me. Like, literally, we go to a restaurant, and they bring... I'll get, like, a 12-ounce steak. She gets the 20-ounce, and they'll bring me the... They'll, like, set it. I'm like, no, that's not mine. That's hers. She's like... she
didn't literally... We just went to Five Guys. And, you know, you got the mask, so you can't really understand people. So I order my triple bacon cheeseburger, and he goes... The single? And I was like,
No.
Triple.
You
three
idiot.
Patties.
Three patties.
Like, oh. Kevin loves the meat.
Lori, before you say your triple, whatever the fuck hunk of meat you're eating, you say, first of all, yo, did I stutter?
Yeah.
Then you say, yo, I want slamming trickles, triple stack of disgusting cardiovascular nightmare.
Yep.
Kevin's not a fan.
Yes.
Kevin's not a fan of the meat.
Of cow.
Oh, really? Should we talk about the steaks that we had that were awesome?
Of a poor little cow.
Yeah, that's true.
Get in my belly.
When you can replace all beef patties with Beyond Beef.
Oh, Lord. No.
Just as good as hamburgers.
They don't. And they're not as good for you either.
Oh, my God. Crazy?
Yeah. No, you're insane.
A little bit.
We'll argue this one to the day you die.
Yeah, be careful. Lori will not step down from this platform. I can promise that.
It's all about the industrialized farming of animals.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
I could honestly drop the red meat. I don't care. But I love chicken too
chicken
much.
Chicken and fish, man. That's my
yeah, I could do that. If that's a thing, you want to start a
you're
little religion?
You're all a bunch of Nancy's.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No.
It's all right.
What makes Bruce any different?
Yeah, Bruce.
You eat burgers all the time.
Every day.
Red meat all day.
Yeah, oh, shit. These guys. All right, do we have anything else, Jay?
Yeah, we got Thunder says, Kevin, hope the Bolins and White Lip projects are going well. Keep up the great work,
the
man.
White Lip, too, yeah.
Thank What's you up? Very much.
How's the White Lip doing? That caramel's sick.
I need females. We won't even talk about that, bastard.
I know.
I don't have any adult females.
I've got a female. I'll send you.
Is it a female?
Yeah, it's a female.
Yeah.
Talk to Lori. So listen, this is what the deal is. You have to be, first off, you might want
to
be nicer to
nice.
Lori because she's the one that facilitates everything because if I do it, it'll never happen. But
this
Lori
is very,
will
very,
it.
Very
That's
true. I don't
no,
do dishes.
You're dingy broad.
I run the business.
Get out of this fight,
you're dingy broad. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I love it. All right, so Let Roses Burn, she said, whoa, will that throwdown be free or a pay-per-view?
Oh, that's
oh it'll be a
pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
60 bucks, bro.
Listen here. Mitz.
That ass-kicking won't be free to
we
see.
We demand epic huge, small, fat wallet stuffing.
Yes.
See, you give her like a couple like stockings, some of them frilly socks, maybe pair of shoes. It's a day.
What the fuck?
I know. Exactly.
I don't know. You might have a hard time though. Lori's pretty mean. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I know you've been like martial arts forever, but she fights really mean.
Yeah. I'm more of a grounded pound.
All right, Jay. Yeah.
Like cats, Barb, go rescue the cats. They're like growling.
All right.
So, Christine.
Cats on the stairs growling at each other.
Christine says, just wanted to say thanks for this great podcast. I was hoping you guys would be able to do something like this, even with all the insanity going on. Thanks again for all you guys do.
Is Brian that Christine Kilroy?
That is.
All right. Yeah, she's up in your area. You know Christine.
Awesome.
You know Christine, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that too. I'm actually, I didn't know what I was even doing when Brian just says, "Hey, you want to do this thing?" Of course, I'll do anything for Brian. I didn't quite know I was even doing.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing either.
Yeah, we obviously
this is a podcast. We hardly knew what we were doing. We think it's a podcast. We're not sure.
Yeah, we're not sure. Yeah,
we're figuring it out.
We're figuring it out. But yeah, you know, I mean, the whole idea when we started the podcast was to have people in studio. But now, obviously, with COVID, it's just it's just easier to do things over Zoom now. And it's a little bit more complicated with our setup, obviously.
A little bit. I'm driving a space shuttle here, dude. What the fuck? Yeah. That's crazy.
You could definitely go to Mars with that bitch.
For sure, dude. Yeah, I feel like I'm there already.
It is crazy. If you saw the amount of wires that we have in this room.
And the size of the screen.
And the size of the screen. I mean, like, literally. I'm pretty sure that there's less wires in an Airbus than there is in this studio right
we
now.
We could rappel down Mount Everest.
For sure.
With all the wire.
Yeah, so. Okay, anything else, guys? Or before we let Kevin go? Or do you guys got any questions? You got anything
for
us, Kevin?
I think I asked him everything I wanted to.
Maybe, like, another 10 years you can bring me back.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We'll see what
maybe.
People say.
10
we'll
years.
See what
if
people
you shut
say.
The hell up we'll, and we'll stop hang, saying we'll, stupid shit.
Yeah, we'll hang out for a few minutes more, guys, but we'll let
Kevin. Yo, lady, I knows I'm going to give you like some respect and call you lady or you little filly. I don't
oh,
need
shit.
To hear
you
all
little
the gibberish from like your CNSA woman's dictionary.
Oh,
encyclopedia.
You know what? CNSA, like, you're aging words. Yourself there, buddy, because nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Even know what like, CNSA means.
It's all right. It's all right, honey.
Listen here, little boy. Calm down. Calm down.
As long
down, okay?
You believe it is true. In your
it's
own
clear that
mind,
your mommy didn't give
self.
You enough love, and you're very aggressive towards women.
Damn.
All right?
I was repeatedly dropped and dribbled like a basketball.
It shows.
Well, Kevin, Nate, dude, like I said, we'll hang out for a few minutes after. But, Kev, thanks, dude. I'll give you a call here in the next couple days and fill you in on everything. All right.
All right, guys.
Later, Kev.
Everybody, right. Thank you very much. And hopefully you guys know that I'm a big just joker. And
of course,
whatever,
everyone knows. Dude, everyone knows.
I gotta think, like, Kevin really, you know.
Kevin hates women. Kevin
now
hates
women. Now people women. Are going to, death threat you.
Oh,
so
no.
You're welcome.
Brian, the thing, remember the handoff reptile thing?
Yeah.
We invited you to do it.
Yeah.
But you were, it sounds like, pussy. Actually, it is pussy, but you were too pussy-ish to do it.
No, yeah.
When we did the handoff, those girls did such a good one, and we were like, hey, we're going to do one. So we did it, and it just happened to be, you know, guys in our group. And then they immediately started saying that I was sexist.
Oh my God. Actually,
Well, guess what, Kevin? You didn't ask me. Because maybe I would have done it. So there you go.
Listen.
There you go.
Cupcake over here.
Cupcake. No, it actually worked out really well. I just, honestly, at the like I said, the last few months have not been myself. I'm starting to slowly feel.
Dude, I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm just going to hold it against her.
Exactly. Lori should have been on it. So, all right, brother. I'll call you in the next day or two. All right,
bye, guys.
All right, see you guys.
Later, Kevin.
All right. Kevin's always great to have on. I mean, he's a character, and he behaved himself really well.
Do you want to give a couple names of where you can find him at on social media?
Please go show him love. Obviously, the Evil Morph God on Instagram. You can also follow New England Reptile Distributors on Instagram.
What's the YouTube?
YouTube channel is New England Reptile Distributors.
The ad volume.
Everybody online say that this.
I don't even know what that's all about.
Don't worry about it.
So YouTube.
Yeah, so YouTube is going to be New England Reptile Distributors.
Okay.
Pretty much Evil Morph God or New England Reptile Distributors are going to be good.
Follow New England Reptile
so I don't know what's going
on.
No, now we're out of control over here. But but anyways, point is that...
maybe we're on, maybe we're not. Whatever.
This has been, it's been a little bit of a technical nightmare. We thought we had it under control, but we didn't. Huh? Hopefully by next time we'll be dialed into her when we do have it. Let us know in the comments. Obviously, hit the like button if you don't mind too. But let us know in the comments and in the chat if this worked out. Yeah. If you guys if you know, like doing guests like this.
And sometimes it's just about having fun.
Yeah,
and
it is. And
you have a good time.
And we're supposed to originally, for people that know, Paul Cafaro was supposed to be on today.
Mm. Another day.
Kevin's jumped in. Paul is scheduled for next
week.
Kevin
was our backup.
Kevin was our backup. Well, it wasn't that he was a backup. Story. No. Kevin, to be totally honest with you, I wanted to have Kevin on as a guest, but I really wanted him in studio because
I thought
it would be
I'm
a lot more fun. But when Paul backed out, and what happened was Paul had a meeting that popped up that he was unaware of. So Paul is supposed to be on next Wednesday.
Perfect.
If you guys want to have another guest, if you guys enjoyed this, we could talk YouTube, listen, we could talk Paul, we
I can't
could talk
even
everybody.
Tell you how much we enjoy
listen
this.
It's, even though, yes, the people are important, I think that it's going to be fun for us to have guests on.
Yeah.
Like, this is a learning experience. I mean, this is technically only the second or third time we've even tried the Zoom.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a learning curve, just like you guys are talking about with the reptiles and the breeding. And you have to learn.
Yeah.
You have to lose.
You have
to
make those mistakes.
Yeah, and I hope we can dial this into where, because I think it will be a good asset. You know, because obviously I'd rather have people in studio.
I agree.
But there's going to be people, not only because of what's going on in the world right now, but also just, you know, it's going to be harder. You know, I mean,
I
like I'm sure I was thinking, I'm sure I can get David Dobrik or Jason
maybe on
Nash
a Zoom.
And
on you know
a Zoom.
What I mean?
They're never going to fly out here to do it.
I agree.
But they're going to do it. You know, some of the Vlog Squad or some of my other YouTube friends, our YouTube friends,
I agree.
We can have on. And I think it'll be really good. So it was good. I was going to tell everyone the update that I've been feeling a lot better.
Hell yeah.
You know,
we went golfing
a couple nights ago. And you know,
we're
it was
bad. We're really bad.
Yeah, we're not good at golfing.
Same.
It was the first time I've golfed and since when we were with Miguel last time I golfed.
Last time you golfed was that long ago?
Like,
that was like
two, three years ago. And then it had been 2 or 3 years before that since I golfed. But I will say that I went out, I wanted to do it for a couple reasons. Number one, I wanted to step outside my comfort zone. Number two, I love spending time with you, Noah, and I thought it'd be fun. And I was a little anxious for a little bit. And then I remember we were sitting on maybe hole 3 or 4 or something like that. And I did kind of take it in for a second. I'm like, man, I'm out here golfing. I'm with my son. This is awesome. And then I felt great. I felt better. You know, the anxiety kind of went away. Yesterday I had the worst day I had in the last 10 days, which would have been one of my
best
days
two
weeks ago. You know what I mean? So if my worst day was my best day 10 days ago, that gives you an idea how we're coming along. Do I feel like it's over? I just wanted to give people the update. You know,
of course.
And like I've been saying, you know, I really want to, you know, I feel like we're so blessed to have a platform that, you know, whether it's the podcast or the vlog or social media as a general, I feel like I'm so blessed that if I can use that to inspire people to that are dealing with things. But it's kind of like me and Jay were talking about, you know, if you have anxiety, you have depression, and you do nothing to get better, you're really kind of just really wishing to get better without any great possibilities.
You have to have change to have change, right?
Yeah, you have to have, you know, which, you know, speaking of off topic a little bit, but Aaron, our trainer, said something that he said, I think it was like Socrates or somebody said this. Mm-hmm. They said, a man spends his life creating wealth, and when he gets old, he spends his wealth to gain his health back.
Isn't that crazy?
And so that's just a little bit of perspective of the fact that we need balance in life. And one of the things I've been talking a lot about is balance, balance, balance. Obviously, someone gave me this bracelet this last weekend. Mm-hmm. The white has a drop of water from the top of Everest, and the black has a drop of water from the Dead Sea. And to me, that symbolizes balance. You know, and the fact that we need to balance our life, and that, you know, we've worked 30 something years incessantly without any real breaks and without any, you know, anything other than work. And we love what we do, or at least I certainly love what I do, but it is time to start gaining that balance back in life. And golfing is, you know, I could care less that I suck. It didn't matter. I didn't hit one. You were out there with me for 9 holes. One shot I wasn't upset about, right? I didn't get one shot where I'd say out of the 9 holes, I think I had my lob wedge was pretty good.
Yeah,
my
that's lob all wedge
my lob wedge was on fire though.
Yeah, I had lob wedge. Well, but other than that, I golfing, didn't have any. Yeah.
So like like these golfers that actually golf to be good.
Yeah.
Even if they're not professional, I mean, they could be completely amateurs, but they're try-hard dickheads. You know what I mean? They're just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go play leisure golf, but I'm going to try my fucking hardest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and I'm going to get mad if I slice
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to get mad. I'm going to be frustrated. Like, bro, you're relax. Not even good in the first place. Yeah. Even if you're hitting par every time, which you're not even good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you can't even eagle the fucking ball.
But did you guys,
you
either one
me?
Of you guys get a hole in one?
So,
gosh, let's talk about this for a second.
No, let's finish this first.
Yeah,
the point of golfing for me, and I think for you, is so we're playing 9 holes over a span of potentially 2 hours.
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
And if I even get one good hit,
yeah,
that makes my whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's
just
all it
one
is.
One
yeah.
good hit.
Yeah.
It's
and
all you
pretty
need.
Much, knock on wood, every single time I get at least one good hit. So
yeah,
I'm satisfied
yeah.
every time.
Well, I think that's what they say about golf, right? You can go out for 9 holes and suck it up the whole time, but you just need one hit and you're hooked.
Yeah.
You know, once you
I
hear
agree.
That chink and you just
yeah,
hear it, you feel
sound,
it, you
yeah.
sound the
see
feel,
the ball fly,
and you're like,
yeah.
oh, man, this is fucking awesome. But let's go ahead and talk about this for a second. One of the things that really frustrates
me.
Separates
me
Lori
from,
most people, number one. And Jay, I don't know if you know this. You probably don't know this, Jay.
What's up?
Lori was at a tournament for the church, right?
School.
School.
For the
okay,
kids
so
school.
School.
Yep. A golf outing.
She fucking got a hole in one.
No way, dude.
Oh, dude. And that's exactly
then
it.
People probably
I was,
shit.
Oh, you don't even know. I was golfing one of the worst games of my life. Like, oh my God, I was so pissed. Like, I couldn't hit shit for anything. And then just like you said, like I teed up, dink, and I was like, man, that felt so good. Watched it. I was like, that is such a good shot. And the next thing I know, the people ahead of us at the fucking hole were just like, oh my God. And I'm like, what's going on? And then we get over there. They're like, holy shit, who hit that? And I'm like,
me.
They're like, hole in one. I'm like, shut the hell up.
No.
That's crazy.
No way.
Dude.
It was a par three, hole in one. Yep. I finish, obviously, the thing. I go to the
crazy.
Clubhouse, and like, people are losing their shit, you know, because obviously it doesn't happen
very often. That's
and they're
so
like,
crazy.
hold on. We got a certificate for you, whatever. I felt so bad. There's these old men, probably like 70 plus years old. They're like, somebody hit a hole. Because, of course, everybody knows somebody got a hole and run. They're like, who did it? Who did? Coming up, shaking my hand. I've been golfing my whole life, and I never got one. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. That's all I could say. Like, I'm not a good golfer. Like, there's no reason at all for this to happen.
That's awesome.
And I
though.
Felt terrible. But
the
yes,
worst,
and
the
I
worst,
still have the
yeah,
thing
I think
it's
the worst,
in my office.
I think the worst part of that story is the fact that there were two par threes. The other par three
was a, car!
Was a car.
I would have won a damn car.
Yeah,
if I would have
hit
the other one.
Yeah. It was a Cadillac. Yeah,
yeah
she would have won a Cadillac if she would have hit a hole
but
in one.
You know
in the
what
other
I got?
One.
I got this
plaque.
Sign.
You got a
Cadillac. I got this sign.
And the sign, unfortunately, when our old building's roof blew off, got water damage.
Yeah, I still have it. It's got a little damage, but it's good. Doesn't matter. I still got it.
Still matter. Doesn't matter.
I still made it.
Lori literally hit a hole in one.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't that impressive?
Yeah. Super crazy.
But I think that
I wonder how many people if we took all nearly 8 billion people
right
what's
alive,
the average
yeah how many people have had
well you know
one
look
one
what happened to Tom Brady recently right
that's in like
that
the
was
1,000
like Tom Brady had that where he really embarrassed himself
what
for
do?
That golf well, remember it was like Tiger Woods Tom
oh
Brady,
yeah
and Tom Brady was like just the worst. I mean, he was like it was embarrassing like
good.
I was watching feeling embarrassed for him and he hit a hole in one.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear
See,
to God.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
He hit a hole in one live?
One live.
What was the par? What was the?
It was like a par three, hole in one, and that's what my whole point. Like,
I think maybe
no one
that's
talked
it.
About how horrible he was.
Yeah,
they talked about
it doesn't matter.
That
obviously,
that's
no one talked
matters.
About. It. I didn't even know about.
And maybe that's
it.
You
and
gotta
I was
be
watching
shooting
it.
The shittiest
yeah,
game of your
one.
Life to
oh
get the
God.
Hole in one. Maybe that's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, are you guys? What are you guys good?
Am I good? Oh, you mean here?
Yeah, we get my
yeah.
back. I'm not gonna lie, my
yeah, I'm
freaking
sorry.
Back
yeah, I'm
in this
sorry,
chair.
Texas. Well, cool, man. That was cool. I enjoyed the time with Kevin.
Yeah,
I
had
hope
a great
that you guys
time
enjoyed
well.
It.
Learned a
let
lot.
Us know. Yeah,
I
yeah.
learned
he's a
lot.
Smart, I'm telling
Kevin's
you, he's a smart dude, man. He's a smart dude.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't think people give him the credit that he deserves. You know,
no,
for a lot of things.
I think because Kevin is Kevin, as you can see. Yeah, he's a smart crazy. Ass, he's goofy or yeah. whatever, and like it's hard, like people see that and don't appreciate
the
or
intelligence
don't respect,
behind
right?
it.
Yeah, whatever.
Probably,
you gotta know the personality. Like,
exactly. People probably have a hard time differentiating, yep. like they probably see like his little jokes and stuff, and
think
they probably get
asshole.
Butthurt.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
they don't take his actual intelligence for.
But he's next level.
Fact.
Oh no, he's next level.
Yeah. No, yeah,
tell.
You can tell.
Yeah,
you can
yeah,
tell
yeah,
he knows the fuck he's talking about.
So. Okay, well, let's get out of here then.
With that being said, I hope you guys learned something today. Please let us know if you want to learn some more. We'll have some more cool, intelligent
Paul
guests Kaffir on.
Next week.
Exactly. Maybe we'll learn a little bit about some fish next week. You know
yep.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a smart dude about fish,
exactly.
Dude. Really smart.
So I'll gather some questions. You guys, too. Thank you guys so much for watching. You have been checked in, and we...